Harrison up and into the penalty area. This is a chance for a shot. Oh, he scored! Oh, yes, what a strike! Leeds United mark a return to the Premier League with a fantastic goal from Jack Harrison.
Here we go with Leeds United. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Hello and welcome to the official Leeds United podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey!
I know, I'll tell you who that cheer was from in a second. But we are going to be talking all things Leeds United. Of course we are, from sort of the results, any gossip around the club, what's going on behind the scenes, interviews with players. And we are going to be doing all of that with the one and only, you might recognise this guy, Jermaine Beckford.
What a pleasure it is, and what a pleasure it's going to be. We're going to have so much fun. As you mentioned, lots of insight, and we'll have a couple of bangers in there as well. We'll have laughs, jokes, maybe even possibly a competition or two. Who knows?
I think you just made that up, but we'll roll with it.
I have indeed. Look at Matthew's face.
He's just gone off script again. Why does he do this?
And that voice that you are hearing is a man who's usually a long, long way away from Leeds, but always following Leeds. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
You're actually in Leeds now, though, aren't you?
I am, yeah. This is my parents' study, which I've managed to get back to. They've been shielding for the whole year, and I managed to fly over and see them for Christmas. I don't even know why I'm on this podcast, because I'm just a Leeds fan. I'm just very happy to be here. This is very kind of you to have me on. It's nice.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, Matthew, because like you say, you are going to be the voice of the fans, really, aren't you?
Allegedly so. I mean, I'm going to try and be, yeah, very much so. It's been an exciting time to be a Leeds fan, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but I mean, we have kind of got to delve into it, because we've got someone exciting to introduce you to that you'll all be aware of. So we'll introduce you to this person very shortly. But firstly, as a fan, I can't imagine you're over the moon after the Man United result. We've got to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's what to say about that. I think I've just about calmed down now, so I've come off the boil. But it was, you know, it was a tough result. You know, 2-0 down after what, 3 minutes, 3-0 down after 20 minutes. It's not what you want at Old Trafford. I think that a lot of fans had allowed themselves to think that we were going to get something from the game. But when you actually take a step back and you look at the teams on paper, we were always up against it. You know, it was always going to be tough. And actually, strangely, I'm not as downhearted as a 6-2 loss should actually make you, really. I mean, I know we're going to go into the game a bit more in depth, but yeah, I just feel like the game was... It was absurd anyway, wasn't it? I mean, it could have been like 8-6. It was real end-to-end. It was certainly entertainment if you're a neutral or just not from Leeds. but I just feel that that's the way we play. It's going to result in a 5-2 win like it did the week before against Newcastle, or it's going to result in a 6-2 spanking now and again. But God, it's good to watch, isn't it?
Very entertaining. What wasn't much fun, though, was getting inundated with signs of the M62 on social media. I didn't enjoy that. Did you guys get that?
I didn't. What was that?
M62.
I ignored it.
Oh, M62. Oh,
see, yeah. That's it. This is how much I'm ignoring the actual result, is that I didn't even register with me.
What it does mean, though, Jermaine, doesn't it, is revenge when Man United come to Elland Road.
Exactly. And it won't be... The game won't be played out in the same manner. You know, we would have learned a lot of lessons from that game. As Matty said there, we're going to win more games than we lose. We're going to get 5-2 victories. We're going to get 5-2 losses or 6-2 losses every now and then. It's not going to be a regular occurrence, you know. It's super exciting to watch this Leeds United team under Marcelo Bielsa. We love it. We've got a load of neutral fans as well first and foremost, who would have thought that? And secondly, it's because of the style of football. The brand of Leeds United now is beautiful. And, you know, when they come to Elland Road, hopefully we'll have a load of fans there as well. The atmosphere will be crazy, crazy exciting. And it's still painful, I'm not going to lie. Matty said he's kind of over it. I'm not. Not yet. When we beat them up at Elland Road.
Yes!
That's when I'll be over it.
on the Prem as a whole, though, guys, what's been fascinating this season, obviously there's been no fans, but some of the results we've had have been the most exciting in recent times, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, coming up to the Premier League, I think that we got a bit of a a bad rep from certain elements of the media saying that we were getting ahead of ourselves and thought we were going to be in the Champions League. And it was utter nonsense. I mean, I don't know any Leeds fan that genuinely thought we were going to totally like win the league and run away with it and all the rest of it. I thought we were actually being very, very pragmatic, and we knew that our main goal was to stay up. And actually, to have come into the Premier League, you know, day one, give that game to Liverpool, which I think that we were very, very hard done by to have actually lost that game. You know, I'm not suggesting that we should have won it, but I certainly suggest that we should have taken a point away from it. And then the Man City game, which, you know, people are already talking about being one of the best Premier League games in years. You always hope it. You hope you're going to do okay and you're going to do well. But some of the games we've been involved in, even I couldn't have dreamed that we'd be as good as that at sometimes. And the 3-0 dismantling of Aston Villa was really a sight to behold, where everything just clicked. And I just think we're fearless, and I love that. And if that fearlessness means that we eventually get taught a lesson now and then, I'm willing to take them on the chin to see us play like that. It's I couldn't have dreamed it 3-4 years ago, I can tell you that.
Jermaine, I know you're always rooting in the media because you're everywhere for Leeds United. You agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, we just got to make sure we maintain the Premier League survival status, which is absolutely what's going to happen. But I would never, ever like to see us change who we are, our identity and the type of football that we play. I really wouldn't. You know, we've had a few dodgy results go against us, but at the same time, we've had a load of amazing results go for us. You know, and the work rate that we have and the style in which we implement that, and it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to watch. And it's great to be able to talk about it from my own personal experience as well and my own perspective, because having worn the Leeds United shirt, played for Leeds United, represented this amazing football club, and now to be representing the same amazing football club but on television to a broader audience, a wider audience, and explain why certain things are happening and why it's still such an amazingly good thing to happen. Oh, mate, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I tell you, like, because I live in the US and it's been quite frustrating over the last, you know, I've lived over there for like 4 or 5 years now. And being in the UK, everyone knows Leeds United. You know, they're a big club. Even in Europe, people know who Leeds United is. But when you go stateside, the name doesn't resonate like a Liverpool or Chelsea or whoever. And it's been so nice this last sort of 6 months where I've got a Leeds United face mask that I've been wearing. And whether I'm in Washington, D.C., whether I'm in Florida, whether I'm in New York, people recognise that badge now. And they go, oh my God, Leeds United. I've been watching them the last few months. They're amazing. I absolutely love it. Even when they lose, they're just fantastic to watch. And we've deserved that for a long time. And now we've got it. It's because of how we play. Okay, we don't always get the points that we probably deserve, but how we play is what is making Leeds the global brand that it's deserved to be for a long time and used to be. And you can't put a price on that. I mean, maybe Abramovich can. I don't know, but it's been incredible for me because people are finally taking notice.
Oh, I feel a bit emotional listening to you, Per. That was motivational talks from Matt and Jermaine Bedford.
Tears in my eyes.
Do you want some tissues, Jermaine? As if it isn't enough, having a former Leeds United hero, Jermaine Bedford, and a Hollywood actor in Matthew Lewis with us, we now have joining us someone you'll all know very well. I feel like we should have a drum roll, lads. Can we it's only our very own Patrick Bamford.
Woo!
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. I feel like we should start by asking you how you are, because we come to you on the official Leeds United podcast in a strange time, a few days before Christmas. Things are very weird, and for you, like a really intense period.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm actually all right. It is kind of hard playing the back-to-back games, but I imagine if you ask me the same question 29th, 30th, I'll be a little bit worse off. Yeah, we haven't really played. I don't think we've ever played two games I've never played anyway, two games back to back, because normally that second day is like a second day recovery. So it's going to be strange.
And what is it actually like? I mean, for most people, they're all putting their feet up, drinking booze and eating loads of food. But obviously you've got, as you just said, two games back to back after Christmas. What can you actually do on Christmas Day to let your hair down, if anything at all?
Well, I would say eat Christmas dinner, but you know what? We're kind of regimented here that we've got to watch our weight for the next day. So to be honest, it would just be watching the family. The family are coming up literally on Christmas Day and then going back. So I'll be watching them enjoy themselves and then just kind of...
So you've got to watch everyone eat Christmas dinner while you can't. That sounds like hell.
Oh, no, I still eat Christmas dinner, but I've just got to kind of be a little bit careful how much I eat. So I might have to skip out on the pudding.
Is it like portioned off? Like you've got very specific things you can have, like 200 grams of turkey, 100 grams of carrots, that kind of thing.
It's not quite that strict, but I might have to like skip a meal in the morning or something so that I can just indulge a little bit more later.
Do you have Yorkshire pudding on a Christmas dinner?
That's a good question. You'll have to ask my missus that, because I can't remember last year. I don't know. I hope so, because I like them.
What is it like, though, around the club this time of year, Patrick? Because obviously, you know, like you are playing back-to-back and things are pretty intense. What is it like being around here?
It's bouncing, actually, when we've had a good result. Obviously, the last few days has been a little bit kind of quieter after the United result. But generally, this season, I think the atmosphere around the place has been brilliant. I think that the boys kind of feel a little bit more at home now in the Premier League after the way we've started. And I know we've been up and down, but we're in a good place and we've showed that we can compete. So generally, it's very positive in kind of like dull times almost.
What are you guys doing for Christmas in terms of training? Are you in training Christmas Day or you got Christmas Day off?
So we'll be in... I think we've got murder ball on Christmas Eve.
And, Happy Christmas!
Yeah. Jeez. I think we've got murder ball Christmas Eve, then training Christmas Day morning, training Boxing Day morning, then we'll meet up in the hotel Boxing Day night. So it's actually good that our game got moved, otherwise we'd be in the hotel Christmas Day night.
What was it like in your day, Bex, if you can remember that far back? What was it like for Christmas for you when you were training?
Oh, wow. Cheers. All right. Don't worry about this. I'm coming back for you in a minute. You are, mate. I'll answer that question and I'm coming back for you. do you know what? It was pretty similar to what Pat's saying now. You would train pretty hard on the box on Christmas Eve, then all depending on who your manager is and how well you've done in the lead up to Christmas, you'd get Christmas Day off, or you could choose whether you're coming in the morning or in the afternoon stroke evening. If it was a game on Boxing Day, 9 times out of 10, you're training the evening, Christmas Day, and then travel straight to the hotel, stay over, and then play on Boxing Day. But preference-wise, I used to love waking up in the morning, Christmas Day, so that the kids were there. You can hear them going nuts, rustling through the presents. Family members screaming at them, don't open the presents until we're all in the room with you. Like that kind of stuff. It's crazy. It's carnage. What about you, Matty? You know, when you were in Harry Potter like 35 years ago.
Yeah, feels like it. Yeah, go on.
did you have to work on, Christmas Day? Have you ever worked on Christmas Day? At all?
I've never worked a day in my life, mate. But no, not on Christmas Day ever at all. Being American, you know, a lot of American crew and American money, they're big into obviously the Christmas period. So we get a good couple of weeks off at Christmas and come back in January. So it's bit of a breeze in comparison.
Was Harry Potter like filming all year round then, like a full on job?
Yeah, pretty much. So I think they took progressively longer. The first one was about 6 months and then they got longer and longer, and the last one took 2 years. We were just like there pretty solidly throughout. I think you get a few weeks off here and there, go back to school. But pretty much two years on the last one. But we did two films back to back. We did the two films at the same time on the last one. So that's why it took so long.
I imagine though, as a player, even though you're training and stuff around Christmas, is the morale kept up by all of you because you're all together?
Yeah, I think so. I think that generally around Christmas time, even if the results aren't quite going the way you want them to, I think that everyone kind of is a little bit more upbeat just because the fact that it is Christmas, it kind of raises spirits automatically. I mean, fortunately, the spirits are generally high at the minute. But yeah, as I said, no one really complains about the fact having to come in. It's just, as Jermaine said, it's a toss-up whether the lads want to come in the evening or in the morning. And most of them want to come in the morning so that they can get back to the family in the afternoon and, as you said, open the presents with the kids and stuff.
And do you buy each other presents? Did you, Jermaine, and do you, Patrick? I want to know if you all get each other presents.
Nah, I'm tight. I don't get anyone a present.
See, that's an honorary Yorkshireman there.
Does anyone buy presents? Is there like one member of the squad that's like Santa Claus and brings them all in for everyone?
To be fair, Marcelo actually does like a, what's it called? Raffle kind of draw.
Like a secret Santa.
No, like raffles. So they all kind of get a ticket with the numbers on, and it's more for, not for the players or the physio staff, but for the kind of staff around the training ground, like people in the kitchen, people who work in the offices, just the groundsmen and all that. And they get a chance to win something. And I think it was last year, the kit men won a car.
You are joking.
No,
who was it? Not Chris Bees.
Yeah, I swear.
Please don't let it be.
Muzz.
No. Yeah.
What kind of car was
anybody
it?
But Bees.
I think it was a Golf or something like that, or maybe a Fiat.
That was Marcelo's gift. He actually bought someone a car.
I don't know whether he bought it himself, but he does the raffle, so I'm presuming so. I mean, those players don't have any kind of play any part in it, but he does it all for the staff to kind of... It's really nice, isn't it? Keep them all like included.
What a guy that man is.
Brilliant.
He's just going up every single day, in my estimations. He's just going up and up and up. Like, the sky is the limit for this guy. That is incredible.
Yeah, that's
such a beautiful thing to do. Like,
yeah, I've never heard of that before. So it was brilliant when I saw it.
We talked about it before, me and you, Bex, but it really feels like this current administration from the top down, you know, whether it's Rad's up at the very top and then Bielsa as a manager, it's just such a community club now. Like, it's just such pure class in involving everyone from the city and then every worker throughout Thorpe Arch and Ellen Road. It just feels like such a nice place to be right now after so many years of it not being.
Yeah, and do you know what's mad as well? Like, when I was growing up, I was a Forest fan originally. Everyone hated Leeds, and I'm sure you guys know that. But everyone seemed to hate Leeds, but I think since Marcelo's come in, it's like, it's kind of turning the tide. Like, you're seeing after the game at Man United, even though we lost, the amount of like people in public who are kind of just watching Leeds pure entertainment. They love watching us. People actually turn the TV on to watch Leeds, even if they don't support us. So I think that he's done, not just on his own, but majority of it is him. I think he's done a great job now.
Oh, we've just been talking about that and about how hilarious it is, how much it's winding up other fans. That we've got, like, I mean, I've seen so much on Twitter the last couple of days about how does a team go and get hammered 6-2 and yet all of the praise is for Bielsa. It's just amazing. Like, you guys are getting so much respect from all corners of the footballing world. People like Gary Neville and Roy Keane, people whose names I wouldn't even say on a Leeds United podcast otherwise, but they're talking about Leeds after a thumping, like with the second coming, and obviously Bielsa is. But like, you guys must be like absolutely buzzing off that. And that's a testament to how you're all playing though.
Yeah, I think that one of the scary things is when you watch a match of the day is if you've made a mistake, you're waiting to get roasted. I'm sure that Jermaine's probably been through that as well. But that when you hear them saying nice things, and they are very supportive at the minute. And I think the fact that we are so kind of strict to the way we play and we believe in it and we won't change our ways. Some people say it's stubborn, but it's a lot of people appreciate it. And I think you're starting to see that more and more now.
You guys and Marcelo deserve all the plaudits that you're getting, Patrick. But I think what I've loved seeing about Marcelo is the longer he's been here, the more of his character seems to come out. Like, the more you see him celebrating goals and stuff, like that Jack Harrison goal, for example, the more you see him celebrating. What is he like face-to-face? How would you describe him and your interactions with him?
It's a very kind of... You earn his respect to start with, and then it's like mutual respect between you and him. But I think that he's you look up to him as your boss until we got promoted, and then he kind of turned into like your favorite grandfather at those promotions. And the way he was giving everyone like a hug, and you saw his emotions come out, and then he changed, and that's the first time you've ever really seen him like that. Then when it's back to business, it is really back to business. So it's all about the work. It's what he demands you've got to do. And every now and then he does sometimes like he catches by surprise by just cracking like random jokes. I mean, I think they're jokes anyway, because he looks up with like a smirk trying to make us laugh. But he does it every now and then to kind of raise the spirit.
What kind of jokes does he crack?
To be honest, I couldn't even repeat the jokes that he says, but like, I think
is that because they're in Spanish or they're offensive? Which is it?
No, he tries to say it in English sometimes, and then you know it's a joke when he gives you like that little wry smile or smirk.
Oh,
until he's kind of taken the a bit.
Do you know what though? I think everyone wishes he was their granddad. Like that's how I see him, and I've never spoken to the guy in my life. Like I think right. You just want to give him a big cuddle, don't you?
Yeah, he's like that, I think. Oh yeah, from the training goal.
Yeah, which is one of the best videos. That is so great.
That caught me by surprise, you know, because I didn't really know what to do because he's obviously the only time I'd really spoke to him was when I'd done something wrong in training and he was telling me what I needed to do. So it was never like that kind of embracing hug kind of speech. And when he did it, you can hear on the audio that Coops is saying, "Go on, Pat, go on to him." So it was like, it was a little bit awkward, but yeah, it kind of did show that side to him early on, that he had that side anyway.
And for you, Patrick, what has been your sort of favourite part of the season so far? What have you enjoyed the most since, you know, being in the Premier League?
I think probably the first game, as weird as it sounds. I think that the excitement of coming up and then the first game being at Liverpool, it was one of them where it was a free hit. And to be honest, none of us knew what was going to happen. I mean, we obviously had like belief in ourselves as a squad, but we were playing the champions. We didn't know how good we were or how much we could compete with them. And the fact that it was weird because we lost, but in the change room after, everyone was kind of upbeat. Like, wow, we've just really taken last year's champions that close to a draw. And I think the boys were just kind of like, wow, we can actually compete in this league. And it gave us a little bit of confidence. So I think probably that first game is the one that stands out.
Was it not proving all the doubters wrong? Because that's something that I've always loved. I don't think you understand how much that fills me with so much happiness. People are doubting all the time and I'm there, guard up, defending everybody. And then all of a sudden, first game scores, second game scores. Mate, you were on fire. Yeah.
Do you know what? It is nice, but I feel like I got to a point where I was like getting angry with what people were saying. And I realized, do you know what? They're going to say it anyway. Like if I score one, but I miss two, they're going to probably pick out the two chances I miss. So I'm just like, do you know what? Doesn't matter what they say, like I'm going to try and do my thing anyway. And the one thing that actually does my head in is where people that I've played with or kind of worked with before, and then they've always had my back to my face, and then all of a sudden they get on TV and they're saying something else. I'm like, what are you on about?
Who is it? Let's say the names.
Yeah, let's call them out here, Patrick. It's a safe space.
Yeah, I will. Paul Robinson straight out.
Do you ever call these people out on it? Do you ever drop them a message and go, I'm listening or I'm watching?
Well, I've just done it now.
No, but to them, directly to them.
To be fair, I did say to Jimmy once when he'd done the kind of punditry on the championship game last year, and I bumped into him in a restaurant after. And obviously I'd known him since I was at Forest, and he gave me a little bit of stick, and I just had a little jibe at him saying, yeah, you're not backing me up much on TV. So We had a little laugh about it. So I get on well with him. So it was all right.
Were you not tempted to walk past him and accidentally drop a drink on him?
Nah, not with Jimmy. I don't know what he'd do.
Nah, he's a beast. Yeah. He's a beast.
I know that you've obviously been aware of things that people say. We've just discussed that. And I know on Twitter you've been quite open about when people have been critical, and you've sort of rolled your eyes and said, you know, you've always had that self-confidence of what you're going to do. And we're obviously only a third way through this season. But do you already feel like you've got nothing more to prove? I mean, you've scored a bucket full of goals already, more surely to come. But even a third of the way through, you must feel like all the pressure's off for you now. I mean, you've done what you set out to do already. We're still two-thirds of the season still to come.
No, not really. Because, yeah, I've kind of proved to people wrong that I can do it. But now the fact that I've scored like a few goals, people are going to be like, if I don't score again, they're going to be like, there's a flash in the pan. So it changes as you keep going through. And say, for instance, even if I finish the season on 20 goals, next year it's going to be, oh, he's a one-season wonder. He can't do it two seasons in a row. So there's always going to be doubters. So for me, I'm just trying to prove to myself, like, keep going along and see how far I can go, really.
So every time those goalposts get moved for you, you keep changing your target as well and say, fine, I'll just go to the next one.
And yeah, just keep exactly. Once I hit one target, for me, it's just set another one and keep going.
Is there anything you do in particular, Patrick, to keep yourself mentally strong?
In particular, no. I think I've worked with sports psychologists since I was like 21, and I've had that just kind of helps psyching up for games and stuff, certain things that you do. But in terms of like general things, after a game, I'll always switch off for like a day or two, and then I'll revisit it and have a look over it the 2 days after and try and see what I could have done better. But apart from that, it's nothing much really. I think being in football, Jermaine will know, like coming up through the ranks in the academies and stuff, you have to develop that thick skin straight away. Because when you first go into the first team, you've got to be able to defend yourself, like whether it's with the banter, whether it's with the hard tackles as a youngster and stuff. So I think in football, you develop the thick skin naturally. So it kind of helps when it comes to dealing with what outsiders say.
Have I told you about my first training session for Leeds?
No.
When I very first signed for Leeds. Right. So I was 22 years old, just signed a contract for Leeds United, 3.5 years. Absolutely over the moon. I was working for RAC, changing windscreens and sorting people's cars out up until that point. So I've turned up at Thorpe Arch, signed the contract on the Sunday, and they said, right, you're training on Monday. I said, yeah, great stuff. Pulled up at the training ground, feeling really good. 7-year-old Renault Megane, 3 hobcaps, 1 missing, big dents and scratches down one side of it. I looked like a right mess, honestly. Come out the car, hoodie up, everything. Walked into the training ground. I said hello to everybody, obviously, and they all welcomed me. Gary Kelly, Paul Butler, Sean Gregan, Sean Derry. Like, you're talking about animals of the game. First training session, like, everybody was lovely. First training session, we went outside. I got the ball, pushed the ball through somebody's legs. Boom! 50-50 challenge. I was wiped out. I wanted to cry and walk in. I couldn't. I wasn't allowed to. Sean Gregan said, don't you dare nutmeg anybody ever again. I was like, I'm so sorry. And like, Sean's always been a big kind of body as well. And he caught me that once. Oh, mate, it was so painful. But they took it in turns. Everybody in the back line decided to take it in turns to smash me and wipe me out, which gave me that thick skin to, when I did start playing in the first team on a Saturday or a Tuesday night, I would get tackled, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as hard as the tackles that I would get when I was training. So I would receive the fouls, jump back up and just look and laugh off I trot. I woke up with many, many cuts, bruises and sprained ankles, mate. I'll be honest with you guys. But like you mentioned, it cuts your teeth a little bit more. It makes you stronger and more prepared.
Yeah, totally.
It's a painful lesson to learn.
Knowing all the hard work that you put in. I mean, I defy anyone who's watched your post-match interviews in the last few weeks where you've been absolutely exhausted, you've run your blood to water. Is it a bit frustrating sometimes knowing how much work you do for the team? And is there a tendency to feel a bit, the criticism is unjustified from people who have never played football, don't understand what your role actually is in the team, and they think, oh, you don't score enough goals. When you're doing so much other stuff that we literally couldn't play without what you do. Is that frustrating when you hear criticism and you go, you guys, you just don't understand what it is I'm even doing?
Yeah, it's probably to start with, yeah. I mean, now it's kind of one of them things where every kind of Joe Bloggs or like normal football fan who, let's say, doesn't really have the kind of interior understanding of the game, they think striker, score goals, striker, that's your job. And ultimately it is. So I'd be happy, like, if I played terribly and scored, I'd be happy. But now it's kind of, as weird as that sounds. But Marcelo's kind of changed the thinking of that with me. I know that the work I've got to do for the team, and ultimately, if I don't do that, I'm not going to play. It doesn't matter if I score, because as a collective, he always states, yeah, we've got some good players individually, but we're collective. We haven't got like the star players. We haven't got like a Messi or someone who's going to change the game on his own. It's what we do all together. So for me, for him and me now, it's more important the work I do for the team in order to help the team rather than kind of, if you like, being a bit more selfish, which I'm not going to lie, it does tire me out. As you see in, yeah, I've seen some of the interviews. After some of the interviews, my mum's like, oh my God, you looked ill. I'm like, geez, thanks.
Cheers, mum. That's all I need.
Are you dreading these two games coming up, knowing that you've got to do that twice in 3 days?
I'm not dreading. I'm interested to see what the second game will be like. But I just got to, you know what, just give all I've got. And then if he takes me off, then Fair enough. We'll see.
Patrick, how much do you as players support each other? Say there's been a defeat, for example, and you might be feeling a bit low. How do you build each other up? Is that a big part of the squad and the team?
Yeah, so I think after this recent game against United, I think that one of the big things, as soon as we went in that changing room after, obviously it was so on the pitch, it was so annoying because we've just been battered by the scoreline. And when they scored a goal, they were running back and you could hear them laughing. Obviously, without the crowd there, you can hear the noises. So you can hear them laughing amongst themselves. So obviously, all those boys are like boiling inside, fuming. But it's one of them where there's no point getting like sent off or doing something stupid because it's just going to ruin the next game. So as we got back in the changing room, the boys have just kind of stuck together and said, lads, forget that one, put it to the side. Like, we don't blame anyone. People make individual mistakes, but we're not blaming anyone. We stick together as a team and we just forget about that one. And to be fair, the manager said the same thing. He said, like, we played well, blah, blah, blah. We deserved certain things more. The result was fair, but now we just forget about that game and we look to the next one. I think that's probably the best thing to do because obviously human mistakes are natural. And if you always picked out everyone, then everyone would just always kind of fall out. So it doesn't help the team.
Was that the case with you, Jermaine, when you were playing? You'd all sort of build each other back up and say, right, we crack on now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was quite fortunate to have not had VAR because if they were laughing at us when they were jogging past after they scored, I'm telling you now, ankles are getting popped. We're going to wait for them in the tunnel. It's not going down like that. But do you know what? It's great as well because it's not great that we lost the game 6-2. Don't get me wrong for a second. But I do like the fact that we did lose and it was against them because now that's going to give us extra fuel, added fuel that we need to push on for the remainder of the season and realize, listen, it's sometimes a loss can benefit you more than winning 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row because it makes you stop and take a moment to yourself and look inside yourself and say, right, well, I did nine tenths of my game, I played that perfectly. That 1/10 of my game is the only area I needed to improve on in that game. I'm going to focus now on that, improving that aspect of my game. And there's no way that we're going to come away with against a defeat like that again.
Weirdly, I mean, as a fan, like, I should be absolutely seething about shipping 6 goals at Old Trafford, but there are other games this season that I'm more frustrated. Like that 0-0, Bex will tell you, I've not shut up about it. That 0-0 against Arsenal still annoys me right now. Yeah. I'm not actually that, you know, I let that go sort of the next day and I'm just ready to move on to the next games now. I think you're absolutely right, Bex. What do you feel like that you've got extra sort of fuel now to go on and not come off the back of that, but just to kick on now and go, right, that's done. Let's go and get results against Burnley and West Brom.
Don't forget, there was a 5-2 victory against Newcastle a couple of days ago as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you have to take the two into perspective and say, right, well, we did everything right in the first game. We could have scored 4, 5, 6 goals against Man United as well.
Yeah.
It was just one of those days where it didn't seem to fall for us in certain situations. Pat scored a goal. It was offside. So there were moments in the game that could have been completely different. Don't forget about the Newcastle game, which was something that for 12 games leading up to that was a matter of time before we put 5 past somebody.
Yeah, but I think that that's one of the things with the way we play. We play so kind of on the edge. It's such a fine line of whether we're going to go stuff someone and create loads of chances or whether we're going to get caught out. And I think that's kind of the thing. If you arrive with the way we play, if you're a little bit out of time, a little bit out of tempo, then you do get found out in this league. But there's going to be more results where we put 5 past people. There's probably going to be a couple more results where it goes the other way. And that's just one of the things that we'll probably have to accept with our style of play.
But we've heard like so many neutrals, obviously you'll have heard Patrick say, they love the style of play. They love having Leeds United in the Premier League. And that must be nice for you to know.
Yeah, I think that when people appreciate the style of play that you have, it makes it kind of easier when sometimes the results aren't going your way. Because you know that, well, actually, that kind of sounds wrong that we're putting on a show because ideally you want to win. But I think that the fact that we do play nice football, as you said, it's turning people's heads and it's definitely doing wonders for Leeds support.
Do you as a player get, not frustrated, but do you ever sort of sometimes wish you could revert to, say, a plan B or C? You know, no one wants to ship 6 goals. Or are you all collectively as a team just like, you know what? the benefits that we get from playing this way outweigh any decisions to change. Let's just keep going with this. Are you guys happy with that?
Yeah, I think we follow Marcelo's plan to the letter, really. And we never changed. There's been times in games where, say, we're winning a game. The one that comes to mind is we were playing West Brom, I think it was last season at home, and we were winning 1-0. And then the second half, they battered us, but we kind of stood strong. To kind of changed a little bit and sat back a little bit more and just made sure that we ground out the result. And I think that the boys in the team know when we have to do that, so that there are times where sometimes the game plan might change within the game, but ultimately we're always following the way Marcelo wants to play. And we enjoy it. I mean, it's hard work. It is hard work, but it is rewarding as well, because sometimes we play on a Saturday, I'll come home on a Sunday, sit and watch Super Sunday and watch even some of the big teams and think, oh my God, this way of football is so boring. Like, it's so different yeah. compared to the way we play. And so I wouldn't change it at all.
As a fan, I couldn't agree more, mate, to be totally honest.
And you mentioned, Patrick, about the Man United game, that because there's not fans, you could hear them laughing and stuff. Obviously, the fans are eager to get back in, and hopefully that can happen at some point soon. But how has it been adapting to that for you?
The first game, I think, was Cardiff when we played, and it was terrible. It was weird. It just felt like a reserve game. Like, there was nothing on it. It didn't feel proper. And I think since then it's changed, and you kind of get used to it a little bit. I mean, we tried last season pumping the crowd noise in, didn't we, during the game?
Yeah,
I think it was
bizarre, wasn't it?
I hated that, and that just felt too false. So I think it's one of them where, as we've played more games in this kind of current situation, you get used to it again. But don't get me wrong, I'm sure all of us would love the fans back, like, sooner the better, I guess.
We're going to get quickly back onto Christmas, since it is Christmas Eve. but I just want to ask you one quick question. I know that Bex mentioned VAR earlier. Mm. And again, I'm still seething about this. So your offside that wasn't... we've got to be very careful not to swear, haven't we? That wasn't offside against Palace in the weirdest game of football I've ever seen. Do you let that go? Or is that still you off?
Yeah, no, it does. It gets under my skin a little bit.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
I should be on 10 goals now. Right. So, yeah, it does me off. But I remember literally the goal I scored after, I even said to the lino, you're not going to put your flag up on that one.
Did you?
even though it wasn't even his fault. It wasn't even his fault.
You as players, what do you make of that? I mean, it must be, you're out there working so hard and scored objectively a superb goal. And to have it chalked off, like, are all players just like, I mean, across all clubs, just like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think that, like, it's one of them things where if a referee makes an error, it's human error, isn't it? So you can accept that. That's like natural. But then when you bring in this technology and then they still make that errors, or they haven't quite got it spot on, even though they've put this technology in place, then you start thinking, well, what's the point in putting it in there anyway?
Right.
Because I'm sure it is going to be swings and roundabouts. Like, we got lucky with... potentially with the penalty at
Newcastle.
Yeah, so like things like that, I think that we're going to win some, we're going to lose some on VAR, but yeah, that one really does me off.
No, I'm glad, because that's what I want, as a fan, that's what I want to know, because it's me off.
You were hesitant to say that there, weren't
it's
you,
It's not going to get into one of those episodes, is it?
Before it does get to that, like you said, Christmas Day is tomorrow. So just finally, Patrick, before we let you go for this week's episode, you have got a tenner to buy Marcelo Bielsa a Christmas present. What are you getting him?
I'm going to get him probably Argentinian chocolates. I don't know the name of them, but he brings them in as like treats every now and then. And I know he likes them. So
treats him for then. Him or you, he brings them in as?
Sometimes for us. I mean, I think it depends very much of whether we're on our weight target. But every now and then, I think it might even be when his wife comes over, whether she brings them over from Argentina for him. But they are nice.
I've just got visions of, like, if you hit your weight, if you're all right weight target-wise, you just get handed a little Argentinian chocolate from Marcelo's. Yeah.
If you're under.
Yeah, top you up a little bit. But to be fair, they might actually be worth more than £10. I don't know. So,
oh, no.
But I would aim for them.
Just quickly, what are they like? I want to know what Marcelo Bielsa likes to eat chocolate-wise.
It's like milk chocolate in, like, a kind of triangle cone-shaped. But it's... one of them's got like runny caramel in it, and one of them's like truffle, kind of like a Lindor kind of thing.
Oh, okay. He's got good taste.
Yeah, so
I thought
bad.
You were describing a green quality street at first. You know, the triangle.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
That, but actually, Lindt chocolate, Marcelo Bielsa has good taste.
No, like when I say triangle, I mean like an upside down like pine cone. They're big. They're not like small things.
Like a walnut whip. But like,
yeah, so similar to that. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a discussion earlier about whether we thought he'd like wagon wheels. But I think we established Bielsa does not eat wagon wheels.
No, so basically where that came from was...
Hold on,
we did an interview with...
Where was I?
Right.
This was when you were late.
Yeah. We were waiting for you. No, but Simon from the Kaiser Chiefs bought in these Argentinian biscuits, right? And I was dead excited, Patrick, thinking they were going to be like really exotic.
Yeah.
They're just a chocolate wagon wheel. So I was really hoping that wasn't going to be what Marcelo liked. I'm glad that it is the Lindt style.
I mean, he might like them as well. I don't know.
He's not a wagon wheel eater.
You know, I can't imagine. It wasn't the best. They weren't the best. But Patrick, thank you so, so much for joining us on the very first official Leeds United podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you join
That's
us.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be back again on next week's episode as well. So we look forward to that.
Yep.
We're going to have even more intense questions. So prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Honestly,
thank you so
trust
much,
me.
Patrick.
No worries. No worries.
Right then, lads, that is it for episode number one of the official Leeds United podcast. I enjoyed that, did you?
That was excellent.
Had a right Absolutely. Good time.
Probably the best number nine we've ever had, I would say. But you agree, Emma? What do you think?
What do you think, Jermaine?
I think I'm gonna watch Harry Potter for the first time today.
Well, do you know what, lads? I've had a great time. I feel like I'm the only one that's not been picked on in episode number one, so I'm happy. Thank you so much for joining us for the very first official Leeds United podcast. Happy Christmas, because all being well, you should be listening to this on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas from us. Please do feel free to send in any questions, suggestions, any comments that you'd like within reason, because Patrick is going to be joining us again on next week's episode. And if you want to get in touch on social media, use the hashtag LUFCpod. But yeah, that is it from us. We'll be back next week. And cheers for joining us. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Tally ho.